creeping. And while I was on sick leave, I got to do a lot of thinking and praying and writing. And I happened to be watching a show one day on TV called Blue Blood. Anybody ever watch that? And there was somebody that was talking about learning all they could about being a great police officer, about going deeper into their knowledge of what their job was. And the thought came to me, as Christians, do we go deep enough in our walk with God? Is our walk surface level? Is our walk a little bit, are we kind of missing landmines as we walk and as we prance and as we walk this journey of faith? Or are we going deeper? Are we seeking God? And so, amazing how a TV show can inspire you a little bit. I was getting so tired by that point watching TV that, I was ready to throw something at it. Anyway, Acts chapter 18, verse number 24 to chapter 19, verse 7, talks about that using two prime examples in this passage of Scripture. So if you have your Bible, and let me read it for you this morning. Acts chapter 18, verse number 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what happened? What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." Now, when we read this passage of Scripture, we see, first of all, that there are two separate accounts, two separate occasions. And it's a very interesting passage, because it prompts me to think about going deeper in this thing called the Christian walk. Have you ever wondered, why doesn't the Christian life work for me the way I've seen it work for others? Have you ever wondered, why is it sometimes I feel like I'm just living a defeated life? It just seems as though I've got no get up and go. My get up is get up and gone. Why is it that I just don't seem to have a real, real overwhelming joy? joy in my life as I should about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I know that there are those who are, you can see it on their faces that they are fully devoted followers of Jesus. But even that sometimes, even our smiles, sometimes we know that we do have some issues that we deal with because, let's face it, we're human beings, aren't we? And we all go through difficult times. We ask the question, well, why don't I have the power in my life to do what I believe God wants me to do? Have you ever said that in despair? You know, there must be more than this. I said that. There must be more than this. There must be more to the Christian life than this. Why is it that sometimes I get the raw end of the deal? Why is that? Why is it that sometimes I just don't feel God's presence as I should in my week when I live out my life before others? Well, today's message hopefully will help us to understand what it is to live our lives in the fullness of God's presence. Because I believe that God, more than anything else, wants us to live lives that are abundant. Jesus came, he said, to give us abundant life. That our joy might be full. That our walk might be overwhelming with a sense of his presence and his power day in and day out. And so, hence, there's these two stories. Two separate events, but they're tied together with a common theme, if you will. So, I want us to look at it very briefly here this morning. The first story is about a man named Apollos. He was from Alexandria, which would be in Greece today. I guess it was in Greece back then. He was known as that particular place was known, and to some extent even today is known as the intellectual center of the ancient world. It's kind of like saying that, you know, saying Cambridge, Massachusetts is the center of the intellectual world in New England, even in the United States, with Harvard University and all the think tank people that live in these areas. Same idea. But Apollos was from Alexandria, but he was now living in Ephesus. And the Bible says that he was a learned man. He was an intellectual man with a thorough knowledge of Scripture. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord Jesus. And he spoke about him with great knowledge and great authority and great passion and great boldness in the local synagogue. But the Bible says Apollos knew only the baptism of John. This is the book of Acts' way of saying that Apollos didn't have a complete picture of who Jesus was. It's the way of saying that Apollos didn't have a full knowledge of all the teachings related to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he didn't know all about the new life that you and I can experience today in our walk with him. And at the same time, there was a married couple living in Ephesus named Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Interesting name. My daughter's best friend just had a baby and they called her Priscilla. Amazing how some of these old names are coming back. Priscilla and Aquila, they had probably been saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and most certainly were discipled under him, and they became prominent leaders in the early church. They were right up there with some of the top leaders. And after Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos speak, the Bible says this, if you look at verse number 26. They invited him to their home and explained the way of God more adequately. They explained the way of God more adequately. Other translations say more accurately. In other words, they brought him up to date with some of the real current teachings of who Jesus was and what he was all about. Now, the result of Apollos' life was that God used him in even a greater way, in a remarkable way. And he became known throughout the church as the defender of the faith. So he was Apollos, the one to go to if you had a real serious questions, such as, why does God allow evil to happen? All these hard questions. He was the guy, he was the think tank guy that supposedly a lot of people went to. And a lot of people thought that he wrote the book of Hebrews as well, although that's not written in stone. And so a short time later, Paul came through Ephesus and met up with some disciples there. And this is where the second story begins, in chapter 19. And when he met them, he asked them this question. It's a very interesting question. The question was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The Holy Spirit? What's that? What's that? And look what the response was. We have never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Never even heard of him. Whoa! Okay? Interesting. Now, what's up here? The response was something that would kind of shake you and I if someone walked into this church and said, they asked, well, what is it to become a Christian? Well, we don't know. We don't understand what that is. You can believe what you want. And that's the way some churches are. But the fact is, right here in this situation, the response was, we have never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, well, what baptism did you receive? What was that? And they said, we received John's baptism. In other words, John the Baptist. So apparently at this time, there were disciples scattered throughout the Roman world, like Apollos, who had been followers of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, if you remember, he made this claim. He made this statement, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, right? And his mission was he came into this world to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Christ. And apparently, somebody didn't get the memo. He was preaching Jesus, yes, but he was preaching Jesus in a forward-looking sense, looking ahead. And there were those who heard this message and who believed John the Baptist and were baptized, and they believed that their water baptism was sufficient in itself for salvation. And so here we have Paul coming along and saying, I think you need to re-examine this, guys. I think you need to have a look at it again. Because what you really need to look at is repentance, yes, but also trusting Christ, putting your faith in Him, giving your lives over to Him, yielding to Him. So they were the followers of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was a great leader. He was a great preacher, and he had almost developed this cult around him. And there were those who were saying, well, we're going to worship John the Baptist. And today you see that in a lot of places. There are some churches you walk in and people worship the pastor instead of God. And so here we have a real issue coming to light in the early church. And so the Apostle Paul wants to address it. And so there's this particular passage of scripture that comes up here, and this story that comes up. The fact is, they need to be brought up to date. And you know, there are some churches today who are like the disciples that Paul encountered in Ephesus. They know some of the story enough to call themselves disciples, but yet they have not experienced the fullness of the Spirit-filled life. And I believe that this is what Paul is getting to. This is what this passage of Scripture is getting to. It's very possible for us to go through all the rituals and all the fanfare and be baptized and join the church and be a committee member and serve in the church, and yet not be full of the Spirit of God, not have the fullness of God's Spirit living in our hearts. So it's really time for our believers today to wake up to this whole issue of getting a little more intentional about our walk with God, of going a little bit deeper in our relationship with Him. Three things I want to remind you of this morning about going deeper. We go deeper. You know, my wife, I had to, believe it or not, I used a shovel the other day, and my hip was still hurting over that, and dug a little hole so my wife could put a plant. Now, the funny thing around our house is that she puts nice, beautiful plants up, and somehow I get to run over them with the lawnmower. And guess what? My name is Mud afterwards, because I may not see that little tiny plant. And that happened not too long ago, before my surgery. And I was in the doghouse for about a week over that. But it's time to go deeper in our relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Paulus knew the Bible. He knew it well. But there were things about Jesus he did not know. He was the Old Testament. He knew all the passages about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And of course, during that time, the New Testament was being written. But Acts says in the way of the Lord, he knew a great deal about Jesus. But somehow, he did not know the fullness of Jesus. He spoke with great fervor. And that fervor in the Greek means boiling. In other words, he was passionate. He was passionate about it. But there was still something missing. But he didn't yet know all that he needed to know. It was time to go deeper. And that's where Priscilla and Aquila come in. They taught him the way of God more adequately. Yes, Priscilla and Aquila, they were exposed to the baptism of John, but they had been enlightened, if you will, by the power and the glory of the resurrection. And they became totally new people because of it. Apollos was not only knowledgeable, but he was teachable. He was teachable. And that's a rare combination. And the reason why God blessed Apollos is because he had this teachable spirit. He had this teachable attitude. And I know many people who are knowledgeable, but they're not teachable. There are many who think they have all the answers. Even in many of our churches today, there are people who may be able to lead a Bible study, or be able to even just preach. And they may have all the knowledge, but they just don't want to be taught. Apollos was both. He was knowledgeable. He was teachable. And that's a good thing. In 1 Corinthians 8, it says that knowledge puffs up. It leads to arrogance. I know a lot of people that are really intellectual, but they're ignorant. Their intellectualism leads to ignorance because there's no heart behind it. They have there just does not seem to be that joy that they need to have in Christ. So the first thing is, in going deeper, is to have that new wholesome relationship with Jesus Christ and our knowledge, our understanding about Jesus Christ. I read the Gospels through a couple of times in the past few weeks, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because it's my desire to, of course, walk closer to Christ, to have a greater and more intimate relationship with Him. But I was really astounded in reading and studying the Gospel of John. And how John brings it out so simple and so plain to see and understand of what it was really to walk and be with Jesus during that particular era. So, my walk with Jesus means I need to get to know Him better. It begins just opening my Bible and allowing the Word of God to saturate in our minds, in our hearts, to let it percolate. The more I'm in His Word, the more I come to understand Jesus, the more I understand who He is. Never be satisfied with what you know about the Bible, about Jesus, about living a Christian life. But a joy it is to seek more, to go deeper. We should always maintain that teachable spirit and always maintain an eagerness to learn more, because when it comes to experiencing the fullness of the Christian life, what we don't know would really be holding us back. That's the first thing. Second thing, not only is it time to go deeper in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, our understanding of who Jesus is, but it's time to go deeper in the Spirit-filled life, in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where it becomes, for many, a little bit complicated. And for many people, the Holy Spirit is a bit confusing. For many people, the Holy Spirit is a little bit scary even, because the Holy Spirit is God in our lives. That's what it is. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the Holy Spirit living in you. It's the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in your life the moment you receive Jesus into your heart. And for some of us, that's a little bit scary, because sometimes we ask God for something and we may not know what we're going to get. We may not understand what the results of walking in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. There's not really a whole lot being taught about the Holy Spirit, it seems, in many of our Baptist churches anymore. And some people are just scared of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is that. Holy. He's holy. He's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God living, abiding in our hearts, representing Jesus. Jesus cannot be here in physical form. So He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to comfort us. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us, to lead us. All of those things. But many times we go around and we live our lives as though we are on empty. Our gas meal is below it. Have you ever tried to drive your car and your needle was below it, and almost driving on fumes? That's the way many Christians live their Christian lives, is to go on fumes, if you will. And it's the Holy Spirit who desires, God desires that we be full of. The Bible says that, and it's a command for the believer. The command is to be full. Filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians it says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, Paul says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means to be full of God and empty of ourselves, right? And it's not that the Holy Spirit that we would have more of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would have more of us. That's the real point of it all. It means that when we surrender ourselves completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we surrender to His leadership, then we become full of the Spirit of God. And the result of that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is really the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the writer of Acts, which is Dr. Luke, not Paul, but he is saying that you will receive power. And that power means dynamite. That power means authority. That power means something that's not of you, but all of God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wow. No wonder on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were entered into the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who's ever said, where is my power in my life? Where is my get up and go in my life? What is missing? The answer is, if we're fighting a losing battle, and I know some of us are, then the power we need for victory is available only through the Holy Spirit. It's only through Him. Now, how do we walk deeper in our lives, and how do we become spirit fit? How do we empty ourselves of the carnal way of life and be filled with the Spirit? It's a simple act of faith. It's simply saying, Lord, and praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Empty me of myself. Make known to me the things in my life that are displeasing to you, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. Fill me now. It's an act of faith. It doesn't mean that all heaven is going to fall in. It doesn't mean that you're going to, see all kinds of images or anything like that. It's a simple act of faith. And look what happened in the early church when the early believers asked God for that filling. They spoke in other languages. They spoke in tongues. Now, there are those who practice tongues, speaking in tongues, and I'm not here to say whether that's something for today or that's something that was supposedly just for the early church. But they were filled with the power of God. Maybe one of the reasons why our churches have empty pews is because we're not full of the power of God. We're not full of the Spirit of God. If we were filled with the Spirit of God, every single one of us, just think of the difference we could make in this community in reaching out in the name of Jesus Christ. And making a difference in the lives of people. Just think of that. Just think of the power that this place, this whole community, this world would see and know if there were powerful Christians being motivated to live for God. And then the final thing, when it comes to going deeper, not only going deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ, not only going deeper and being filled with the Spirit, the third and final thing is going deeper and using our God-given gifts to serve others. That's really the whole idea behind it all. And this is what Paul said, or Luke said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, saying Paul. It's a great verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem is your own town where you live. And Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power to be my witness. That's a pretty awesome thing. This power that you receive is not just inventory that you store away in some kind of spiritual warehouse, just in case someday you need it. power you will put to use right away in serving others, in helping others, in blessing others, in ministering to others, in leading others, in building up others, in teaching others, in comforting others, in healing others, in encouraging others, in strengthening others, and on and on. It's pretty powerful to think of what God wants to do in our lives when we go deeper serving Him. You see, the Christian church ought not to be a museum. That it ought to be, and it ought not to be a fortress. And it ought not to be just a place where people come and hang out. It ought to be an influence of power in the community. Power. And we do that through prayer. And I'm praying that in the next little while, in the weeks and months ahead, that God would help us understand where that power comes from. We would unleash that power in the name of Jesus Christ. So those are just a few thoughts coming from this passage this morning in Acts chapter 18 and chapter 19. Going deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Going deeper in being filled with the Spirit. Going deeper in serving others as God would have us. Thank you, Lord. Privilege we have of going deeper in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would help me go deeper. That you would fall fresh upon me. Spirit of God, that you would fill me, overwhelm me with your power, so that I might live not a defeated life, but a victorious life in you. And I thank and praise you in Jesus' name.